Can you talk about the hazard ratio data that was presented? I thought that was fascinating and how that changed over time.
Well, again, this is a subject that I've always been interested in. We're used to looking at Kaplan-Meier curves, but Kaplan-Meier curves are useful for the statistical analysis, but they don't truly reflect what's going on, whereas the hazards do. And if you consider a data set of patients treated by local therapy alone before systemic therapy, and the best recorded data set is from Milan, and Romano De Micheli and Michael Retzky have been working on this for years, and I've always been fascinated by this picture. There is a very high and narrow peak for relapse at 2 years. It then comes down again, and then you get a second, much flatter peak for relapse at about 5 years, but that's a long, flat curve. And I've been working with Romano De Micheli, Michael Retzky, and Bill Hyshensky. We've been modeling and developing hypothetical explanations for this. And we've published together, and we've got a big review article on this coming out in European Journal of Cancer very soon. And there seems little doubt that that initial peak is provoked by the act of surgery. Surgery switches on a suite of genes for healing. Now, the same suite of genes necessary for wound healing also are necessary for provoking the growth of cancer. So what's good for healing is also good for cancer. What we're seeing with the hazard rate analysis plot is for tamoxifen, there is two peaks. The first peak, using semi-quantitative comparison with the Milan data set, is lower with tamoxifen, but there still is a peak. But with the anastrozole arm, you have lost that initial peak, and the second peak is also flatter. Now, to me, personally, that is the most profoundly important observation in this trial, and it's important for two reasons. In helping you make therapeutic decisions and giving you a fascinating biological insight, because Arimidex almost ablates that first peak, I think that's the strongest argument for starting with an aromatase inhibitor. If you wait 2 to 3 years, as some of the trials are reporting, sure, you get a wonderful effect. But meanwhile, you've lost those patients who relapse and ultimately die in that first 2 years. The other thing, why should Arimidex and anastrozole be so much better at tackling that first peak than tamoxifen? And I think there's a really good explanation. Wounding is associated with the COX-2 upregulation, and COX-2 upregulation through the prostaglandin sequence leads ultimately to the triggering of the aromatase enzyme. So you've got a tumor bed, which is healing, secreting cyclooxygenase 2, and via the stroma, switching on aromatase. So you're bathing that tumor bed in estrogens. That's why I think the aromatase inhibitors work in suppressing that first peak. And that, I think, is also a good argument for future trials of preoperative aromatase inhibitors with or without a COX-2 inhibitor.
Now, this double peak phenomenon, is that specific to ER-positive or just breast cancer in general?
Breast cancer in general, the breast cancer, you will see pretty much always the twin peaks. The timing of these peaks is always the same, but the amplitude of the peaks is reflected in prognosis. So the lower the amplitude of each of the peaks, the flatter the Kaplan-Meier curve, the better the prognosis. And those who have the worst prognosis, T3, N-plus tumors, will have the steepest first peak and also a steeper second peak.